Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. In his latest book of poetry, Leland Kinsey continues to explore the themes of family, time, and landscape that have occupied his previous works. They serve him well as he examines the Northeast Kingdom he lives in that his family has called home for generations. Leland Kinsey joins me now to talk about the new collection called Winter Ready. Such a pleasure to have you back in the studio. Thanks,
Thank
Leland.
You very much.
You begin this collection up on your roof, fixing a crumbling chimney. And in the second poem, which sort of continues on from the first poem, you talk about the chimney swifts that surprise you by flying out of the chimney, almost knocking you off your ladder. And I love the image that you create of these birds when they decide to come back into the chimney, and you call it like smoke returning. It looks like smoke returning. And you write, I could hear the scratching of their small claws and bristly bracing tails, the small sound and tiny echo of their twittering calls. And then you talk about finding nestlings sort of half buried in the ash and not knowing what to do. I found that image so chilling. I mean, it just chills me to think about it now. It was a really beautiful way to start off this collection.
Thank you. It is startling when it's after breeding season that they collect in these huge flocks. And so it surprises one if one's working on the chimney and they emerge. And then earlier in the season, when occasionally, not very often do they fall out of the nest, but it does happen, and you find them down in the ash pit, and there's little you can do at that point because you're not going to be able to get them back in the nest like a robin or something. So
what do you do? Do you kill them?
They die. You put them out and, you know, hope they might be big enough to call, but it's not going to happen.
Given the season that we're in, I was hoping maybe you could read from another of the poems in this collection called Double Digging the Garden.
I will. Double Digging the Garden. The first shovel depth turns easily, a fine built loam of native soil, and the manure, leaves, wood, stove cinders, garden debris, kitchen garbage, and that heat of their own accord at the middle of the compost pile and burned to a fine gray ash, which I forked steaming in the late fall air into the wheelbarrow to spread on the plot before I begin my tilt. I build a berm as I spade the first trench. The second shovel depth is hard to turn, a remnant of the glacial till pushed by ice and dropped as heavy sediment in the great plowing of this region. But I want some clay in my topsoil and a deeper richness in the bed to hold water and nourish in summer drought. I want crops like my uncle's field corn that once stood 14 foot, French white radishes like baseballs, enough cucumbers for 4 kinds of pickles plus relish, tomatoes for sauce, juice, piccalilli, and eating out of hand, lettuces like thick knots making up a variegated carpet in hues from green to reds. My wife and I now have way too much of all of this, our children gone. Pets, large and small, which used to consume the extra, have long since died. I squeeze, can, freeze, dry. My grandmother had jars of raspberries dated a decade old. I may soon match that mark with many supplies. I give much away, will have to give more, to extended family, neighbors, food banks. I could join the farmer's market, but don't like meeting new people. My legacy may consist of refuse. By the turn of mid-afternoon, my spine feels bent and raised like the spade's frog. For 2 brisk days, heated by work, I fill the ditch just dug with the diggings of the new all the way to the end of my tillage, then barrel the levee at the start down to fill the last. The soil lies loose, aerated, and free of any rocks that deep frost forced up. It will drain and open easily in spring for cold hardy crops, and warm quickly for fainter seeds. Each summer I bring friends out to note and share the display and produce. Here is life's habit on grand exhibit and the hard work hidden.
Boy, you've encapsulated a whole season that we have to come here. I know in the Northeast Kingdom you're probably not quite tilling the garden yet.
We are not.
I want to underline or highlight that line, too, in the poem, which I just love. I could join the farmer's market, but don't like meeting new people. That can't be entirely true. You've had to feed your poetry habit by doing a lot of things that incorporate interacting with other people, including a lot of teaching.
I have done a great deal of teaching, but that doesn't mean it's ever easy. It's something that I think is important to do, but it's always hard to do.
Really? So you really don't like meeting new people?
Not especially.
You know, in this poetry collection, I loved all the images, and you really do, as you have in past collections, shown a real connection to the landscape and the land. But it made me think, boy, Leland Kinsey never has to do anything so mundane as open a can of beans that he bought at the grocery store or go to the grocery store in the first place. I mean, you make life sound very rural and pastoral, and the mundane for you is so different than the mundane for many, many people.
It's probably more similar than I would like to admit, even. But certainly my long heritage brings something to the writing that I hope comes through. I do hope that in addition to that, there is a universality to it, however, so it's not limited by it, but it just helps expand it into a wider realm.
You were very kind to me when I first came back to Vermont to take this job, and I came and interviewed you at your home in Barton, and then you took me around the neighborhood, as it were, and took me up to this hill where there was a rock, sort of a rock outcropping, and you sat on that rock and you said, I could throw a stone and hit a Kinsey. You know, any direction I throw a stone from here, it's probably somebody that I'm related to. How does that color your relationship to the landscape that you're writing about? Do you feel ownership, or is it something lighter than that?
It's not ownership, but it's a depth of association. It's a historical depth and a cultural depth. And then the familial is part of that, but just a part of that. And so it, even in my family, it goes beyond that. And that particular rock is actually not an outcrop. It's one that the glacier, an erratic that the glacier just brought to
there
and set there.
Would you read another poem for us? There are several that I really love, but I think The Spawning Hole might be a nice one to read.
The Spawning Hole. Because an older friend of his would mention it, but never reveal location, my friend found the river's major brook trout spawning hole for at least the second time by walking the alder reaches, field meanders, rocky rapids and marshy spans, greenstone and granite defiles too narrow to fish, boulder-strewn flats, slate-bedded runs, sand and gravel-tailed pools over the course of several falls. One mist-defined October morning, he walked up on the older man frying two brook trout beside a lively curve and race near Beaver Work. It's taken you a while. I've cooked one up for you. Only once or twice a year do we drift our weighted flies out beside overgrown banks, over twig and leaf deposits, heading the clear gravel run. We click quickly, land and release, all females, and the largest males, crook-jawed and shimmering, with muscle and color, giving them the weight, feel, and shine of an ingot. But we keep one or two medium males apiece, because our families like to eat trout, and to keep it all from being just sport.
Can you live in the Northeast Kingdom and not feel a connection to the landscape like that in some way?
It's probably possible, but I wouldn't know how you would do it. For newcomers, they may not. If you go to and reside in one of the small cities and have a technical job, you might not, or it might take you a while. After a while, I think at some point you would begin to, but it might take that while.
And if you're likely Leland Kinsey, you can even find the poetry in Slaughtering Turkeys, which is also included in this. The poem that you just read, The Spawning Hole, that whole first part of the poem, I love the way you wrote that because you're talking about this stream and you can feel in your writing tumbling over those rocks that are pooling up and tumbling themselves with the flow of the water. How do you think about the structure of your poetry in conveying an image like that?
very carefully. I take a great deal of time because any of the rivers up there do have this wide variety of type within its entire run, and a lot of people don't realize that. They'll see the open and accessible parts and not realize that all these other parts are there. And, of course, that has truths in other areas besides rivers. But I think of that, but I want to keep it to the image itself, too. And so I want the description to be complete. I want it to move easily. I will often say these lines out loud as I'm writing them to make sure they are understandable and will convey what I want them to convey.
So if you were writing about a different part of that stream, you would write that poem differently?
The pace would probably be different.
Do you have an example of that that you can think of? I'm sorry, I'm putting you on the
spot
here.
Not right offhand, no.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I'd love for you, in the time we have left, to tell the story of the poem Deer Camp, because it's a long poem and we don't have time to read it, but it's a kind of a wonderful story going back in time.
The Deer Camp exists on a small plot of land over near the Connecticut River. It's in an undeveloped township that my father-in-law bought with seven other World War II veterans when they came back, and all of them had had a tough time. And I helped him, in fact, build that deer camp years later, although they'd earlier used a camp, an old logging camp that now is defunct and long defunct and plowed under. But the land was all open then, and now it's completely overgrown by trees except for the large swamp that the deer camp sits on. And so the poem just tries to encompass the modern reality of the camp sitting on that swamp and the history that encompassed my father-in-law and his World War II service and his memory and difficulty in talking about that service.
The poem is called Deer Camp, The Deer Camp, and it's in the collection Winter Ready. It's Leland Kinsey's new collection of poems. Leland, thank you so much for speaking with us about it today. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Leland Kinsey is also going to be reading tonight at Phoenix Books in Burlington at 7, along with poets Daniel Lusk, Karen McCadden, and Angela Patton. He's going to be reading at Book King in Rutland tomorrow evening.